Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group with another exciting edition of The Grow Show powered by Steel. Thanks for joining us today. Today, I'm going to talk to you about some of the mistakes I've made in my 40-year business career and what I've learned and how I've recovered from them. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can even watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since having a client call and compliment one of your team members. Recently, one of our large commercial clients called and left me a voicemail ranting and raving about one of our young leaders here, Dalton, and saying what a great job he did managing the job and how he looks forward to working with us again. Folks, you can only imagine how it makes me feel when you get a compliment. I'm sure you folks listening here can relate that it's a great thing to get a compliment. We're trying to develop young leaders constantly. We're trying to get the business to go beyond the owner, and that takes people. And to get a call saying that what you're doing is working, this young guy did a great job, it made my day. So here's to folks that take the time to make phone calls, and here's to the opportunities we have as leaders when we get those phone calls to go and further make the person feel great about what they're doing and go on to the next thing that they're going to win at. So now let's get on to this week's edition of The Grow Show. Most businesses, ladies and gentlemen, do not make it to 40 years. And this year is my 40th year in business, and it is hard to explain. You can see the gray hairs for those of you that have joined us on YouTube. And I'm going to tell you, I know I've done a good job. I know that my three companies, the Grow Group, Grunder Landscaping Company, and Grunder Green are all good. But you know what? I know we have a lot more to learn, and we've made a tremendous amount of mistakes, and we're going to continue to make mistakes. We're not trying to make mistakes, but that's what happens when you grow. You try things, and things like that happen, and you move forward. So I wanted to share with you some of the mistakes that I've made in the last 40 years in hopes of you learning from them as well. This is going to be a fairly long edition of The Grow Show because I've made a lot of mistakes, and there's a lot of things I want to share with you today. So let's jump into it. Number one, lack of focus. Lack of focus. Goodness gracious, where do I start? I spoke of my issues with a lack of focus on episode 48, where I told you about all the great things I learned from my late great mentor and friend, Clay Mattil. He taught me the power of focus. He gave me a book called Focus. Go back and listen to episode 48. If you're on a little bit of a Grow Show binge today, you'll really enjoy it if you haven't listened to it. I'm sure you're going to see where I got a lot of the ideas I have, the business philosophy. But to be blunt, folks, I still struggle with focus at times. If I didn't have Vince running the Grow Group and Seth running Grunder Landscaping, kind of a tether for me to bring me back into reality, I still would probably have an issue with focus. That's just kind of what happens. I mean, through the years, you've probably heard some of the things I chased. In 1993, I bought 2,500 Christmas trees. On December the 23rd, we had 2,300 of them left because we opened up this Christmas tree stand. You know what you call 2,300 Christmas trees left on December the 23rd? Mulch. That's what you call that. What a terrible idea. I thought I could make some money during a slow time. It ended up costing me money. I started a power washing company, and the only smart thing I did there was trademark the name, which was called Grime Busters. I started that, got so upside down in that, I sold it to someone else for a dollar so they would take over the payments on the equipment. I got out of maintenance back in the 90s, you know, mowing and mulching and detailing and snow and all that because I didn't think it was real sexy and I just wanted to do high-end design build. I know you're chuckling right now, but folks, this is what we do. We chase things, and I'm going to tell you, your strengths are also your weaknesses. I mean, my ability to be creative and dedicate energy towards things, that's a strength. It just has to be managed accordingly by staying focused on your vision statement, which is where you're going, by staying focused on your mission statement, which is what you're going to do on a daily basis to achieve that vision, and by having key people in your life or on your team. Maybe you're a smaller landscaper right now and you don't have a leadership team per se, but you probably have a mentor, or maybe you have a spouse or a partner or a friend or a father or a mother or some kind of guiding light that can help bring you back into reality when you need to be brought back into reality. There's nothing wrong with trying different things. And today, quite frankly, there's a lot of services that they're not a match for us to be doing, like masonry, electrical work, plumbing, heavy excavation, concrete work. We use subs for those and we get that work done. But we're very, very focused on what we do best. And focus was not something I even remotely understood when I got the business started back in 1984. It probably was only about 25 years ago that I finally started grasping what focus meant. And I had been in business for 15 years and had already been married and had children by then. So lack of focus was a big mistake. I hope that by you listening to me say that, you can look at yourself and you can see if lack of focus is an issue for you. And maybe you could be inspired by my conversation here to get better in the area of focus. So number one was lack of focus. Number two, not letting go. I look back at some of the things I was doing. I don't even really know what I was doing. I wasn't patient with people. If they had a different philosophy than I did, I didn't take time to get to know them or understand them. I just kind of said, you know, this is my small business and I got to work closely with them and I don't like how they think and they need to go. And Lord only knows how many people I terminated that had I kept them and worked with them, who knows what they would have done. You know, a case in point here, I mentioned to you, Dalton, that we got the phone call on for doing such a nice job. Dalton's on our leadership team and he actually started out here as an intern over 10 years ago. When the internship was over, he went and he worked a couple different places. He was in the Army. He got out of the Army, became a reservist, and he joined our team and he was doing a really, really nice job. And when I decided to hand over the reins of the day-to-day operations of the company 5 years ago to Seth and make him general manager, Seth wanted to bring Dalton onto the leadership team. And I had told Seth in our negotiations for him to take on that role that he could make the decisions that he wanted to make, that I would support him. And he wanted to bring Dalton onto the leadership team. And it wasn't that I didn't dislike Dalton. It's just he was in his 20s. And I had this preconceived notion that somebody in their 20s couldn't possibly have enough wisdom to be serving in a strategic position like on your leadership team. Well, you know, and I was doing the very thing that I didn't want people to do to me when I was in my 20s, which was pass judgment on me. Well, Dalton went on to the leadership team and he's done a wonderful job. That was such a smart decision by Seth to put him on there. And I was wrong. You know, and it all goes down to this perfectionism concept that is not a great thing. There's nothing wrong with striving for perfection, but perfection can really be the enemy of great. You know, I told you I thought my company was good. I do think we're good. The only way we're going to get great is if we embrace these mistakes, listen to what the feedback is, and work on getting better. You know, I thought people weren't interested in someone like Dalton because I didn't see enough things out of him that would make me think he would be a good member of the leadership team. Well, that's not true. He was quiet. He was a member of the Army, so he was following what people were telling him to do. And he was probably, along with countless others that are here now that have moved on to other roles in our company, and people that are no longer here, they were interested, but in reality, they were intimidated. And as a leader, folks, we all have to go first. We got to give some people a shot. We got to break the walls down. We got to show our vulnerability, and we have to take some chances. And I did not do that early enough in my business career, and I paid for that. We are now at the state that we probably should have been 10 years ago, to be blunt with you. If I wouldn't have had Seth come in here and inject a ton of enthusiasm into myself and what we were doing, there's no telling where we would be. We wouldn't be where we are right now. So, you know, again, number one, lack of focus. Number two, not letting go. I needed to let go. I was gripping the club way too hard and I wasn't giving people opportunities. And, you know, I heard somebody describe, they said, your organization is one of three things. It's either a raging river, and you don't want that because that's chaos. That's moving too fast without systems. You're going off the side. You're hitting into the rocks. I mean, a whitewater rafting trip is probably an exhilarating experience for a couple hours, but you can't go on a four-day whitewater rafting trip when you're on the water the entire time with no rest. It's just, it wears you out. So you don't want your business to be a raging river. You also, on the other side of the spectrum, don't want your business to be a stagnant pond, a smelly pond with no movement in or out of it, and everything's just stagnant. And actually, to be blunt with you, because I like to be blunt, Grunder Landscaping Company had become a stagnant pond. Anybody that came into our organization, they were hired, once they got in here and looked around and they figured it out, they were like, well, there's no opportunity for anybody here to grow. Like, there's no open positions. That guy in that role, he's in his 50s. He's not going anywhere. And obviously, Marty's very happy with him. That guy's been here 12 years. He's in his 40s. He's not going anywhere. We weren't growing. And my friend, Mike Rory, runs a wildly successful company in Cincinnati, Ohio, just down the street called Ground Systems. He said something to me that really struck a chord. And it took me a couple years to process it. But he said to me, Marty, the best reason you grow a company is because you have so many good people. They're pushing you. And you got to create opportunities for them or they're going to leave. And that was like, when he said it to me, it didn't impact me. But about a year later, it really hit me right square in the face, right here. And it made me realize I had to grow the business to create opportunities for other things. And that presents the third scenario that your company could be, which is a babbling brook. It's the lazy river at Disney World, where you're on that little inner tube and you're floating. Maybe you have a drink in your hand. Your family's next to you. You're floating down the water. It's relaxing. It's peaceful. There's movement. There's room for more people in the water. It's that kind of scenario, okay? Raging river, stagnant pond, or a babbling brook, a lazy river. That's what you want. You want movement. And I wasn't letting go. There wasn't opportunities for people to come in here and make mistakes. I was too focused on perfection. And perfection really is the enemy of great folks. So lack of focus, not letting go. And number three, trusting but not verifying. The old team that I had in here were all a bunch of well-intentioned, very hardworking, good people. But they could come up with excuses as to why we wouldn't do things. They would come up with excuses as to why we wouldn't do things. And I ended up believing them. And I didn't verify that what they were saying was true. I wanted to get into lawn care 20 years ago. And I was convinced that lawn care was on the way out, that if, you know, there's all kinds of environmental factors with lawn care, you couldn't do that. You know, I wanted to do more commercial work. I was told that we can't do that. And again, it's not their fault, okay? It's my fault. I had the wrong people running with me. I had people that were really good sergeants, but they weren't generals. They weren't people that was going to take this organization to another level like what we've done the last few years with, quite frankly, no end in sight. I totally see how we can scale now. I totally see how we can grow. And a lot of that is trusting but not verifying. Like, I just took their word for it. And a big part of the epiphany, folks, to be completely blunt with you here today on The Grow Show, powered by Steel, was lessons that I learned from working at the Grow Group. We would go and we'd do a peer group meeting. I'd go and do an on-site consultation and I would show someone how to grow their own business, but I wasn't growing my own business. And there's something called imposter syndrome that was really setting in with me where I just didn't feel good about myself. I didn't even feel good about getting on the stage at Grow and talking about growing a business when I wasn't growing my own business. So we had to get some new ways of doing things here. We had three or four extremely talented people that worked here a long time that some of them self-selected themselves out of the organization because they didn't want to go in the direction that we wanted to go. It wasn't anything horrible. They had done a great job. I'd be a fool to say they weren't any good when some of them were with me 15, 16, 19 years, but it wasn't a fit for them any longer. And they needed to go find something else to do. And I needed to find people that were more interested in growing and pushing. And as Seth often says to me, breaking a few eggs to make an omelet. We do make mistakes, but we still are extremely focused on doing a quality job, a great culture, all the hallmarks that I founded the business on and operated under for the first 25, actually, let's say 35 years, are things we're still doing in the last 5 years that we've had astronomical growth. We're one of the fastest growing businesses in Dayton, Ohio, and we'll receive another award for that this year. So it was trusting but not verifying. And just to kind of pause here and take a deep breath, I hope as I'm talking, my hope by doing this and you know, being so vulnerable with you about my mistakes is that you're seeing some things in yourself that you think you could make a difference by learning, some mistakes that you've made. And we'll finish up on a good note about why this is so important. I don't want to spoil my main theme yet. So lack of focus, not letting go, trusting but not verifying. Number four, not knowing enough about finance. I graduated from the University of Dayton in 1990 with a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. I did not do well in finance or economic classes. And quite frankly, I was intimidated by the numbers. And for a long time, I just was not interested in the numbers. A couple of weeks ago, we had our ACE Discovery meeting in New Orleans. It was awesome. We had 60 landscape professionals with us, onboarding all of them into our peer groups. Our peer groups, as a side note, are a wonderful opportunity for you to grow your business. Go to the growgroupinc.com for more information on our peer groups. But one of the gentlemen in the room that I was in, that Vince was facilitating the group discussion, he was a really nice man from New Orleans, and he said that he doesn't understand finance and he really doesn't like it, but he knows that he needs to change that. And I just was so impressed that he admitted that. And I told him, I said, that was me 25 years ago. Like, I didn't know it. I didn't want to know it. I had accountants helping me, and I just wasn't as interested or as knowledgeable about finance as I could or should have been. That's completely changed today. I'm not intimidated by numbers. I understand it inside out and back. And I know now that protecting those numbers, like is what I used to do before and not share them with the team, is a mistake. We share a tremendous amount of numbers with people. And what I thought was that if I shared the numbers with my team, they would think that I'm making more money than I actually am. Or even if I shared them all, they would see that I am making money and they would want to go start their own business and put me out of business. And that's not what happens, folks. Okay. By you not sharing information with your team, you are actually making everything look so easy to them. And they assume the best. They think all they have that you have to do to be successful in business is to get a phone, get a website, get a couple trucks, a shovel, a wheelbarrow, and you're in business. They don't realize that the average profitability margin of the companies in our peer groups is 6%. Okay, that might surprise you. Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you think if you're not an owner of your company that your owner's making 20%. We don't see very many of those folks in our peer groups. So by sharing information with people, they now are empowered and knowledgeable to take the information they know about your numbers and directly make an impact on the bottom line of the company. And it was a mistake for me not knowing enough about finance because that was probably why I didn't share it. I didn't know enough about it to go sharing it because I couldn't talk about it. Today, I can talk about it. And if you were to come to one of our monthly Grow meetings, our company-wide meeting where every employee, every team member in the company is invited, it's in the morning from 7 to 7:45, you'd be amazed at the numbers that we're sharing and the details that we're sharing. And we don't have people quitting and stealing our clients and starting their own business. We have people helping us row the boat farther and faster in the same direction together, and we're making money and they're making their bonus and they are now seeing what's in it for them. And it's all part of this flywheel that we're turning at a very, very rapid rate. So not knowing enough about finance and certainly not sharing it with others was also a serious mistake. Number five, not asking for help. Now, I want you to keep in mind, 40 years ago when I got started, if there were peer groups, I didn't know about them. To my knowledge, when I started our peer groups 22 years ago, I don't recall anybody doing peer groups. There were mastermind groups. If there's someone else in the green industry that had a peer group over 22 years ago, I didn't know about it. 35 years ago, I didn't know about peer groups, or I would have been in one. I didn't ask for help. I went to various industry events. I went to a lot of local industry events in the state of Ohio. I went to, it used to be called ALCA, Association of Landscape Contractors of America, which then morphed into PLANET, which today is known as the National Association of Landscape Professionals. There was PGMS, Professional Grounds Management Society. There was a big nursery event in Louisville, Kentucky every year. I don't think that still goes on, I don't believe. But I would go to those, but like I'd go by myself and I'd walk around by myself. I didn't talk to anybody. Now, this was when I was in my early 20s. And I just was afraid to talk to anybody. I didn't have any confidence in that. That might surprise you, but I was quiet and I sure didn't go there to seek out others. I really didn't talk to anybody. And I thought things like vision and mission, you know, I knew about those. I kind of understood those at a younger age, but I thought those were up to me. Like that was just something I shared with my wife, Lisa. That wasn't something that I had the team help me with. And that was just, that was wrong for me to look at that way. You work on those things with your leadership team. You ask for help. You go and you get a consultant and you tell them you don't know anything. You go and talk to a client that maybe you did a great job landscaping, and maybe they have a business that employs hourly workers and they're doing great. And you ask them if you can go to lunch with them, and you ask them, how are you doing that? Because I'm struggling in that area. Clay Mantill, my mentor that I spoke about in episode 48, the late, great Clay Mantill, he told me several times, and he told groups that I was with him and that he was teaching, that the hardest thing for an entrepreneur to say is, I need help. I often joke that GPS had to have been invented by a man because we don't want to ask for directions, but I digress. If I would have asked for help sooner, there's no telling where I would be right now. If I would have realized that I was the bottleneck for this company, and that's why we were stuck at $4.5 million for 12 years, if I would have asked for help, there's no telling where I would be right now. And that was a big mistake I made. I guess my own ego, lack of confidence, embarrassment to not ask for help. I should have asked for help sooner. It would have made a big impact on my business and in my life. And then the last fault that I want to share with you, and we have so much faults, we're gonna do another version of this later in the year. And this is a big one, and this is why I saved it for last. I was looking at who was at fault instead of what was at fault. I was looking at the faults instead of trying to find solutions. And today, as a consultant, as a teacher, as a father, as a grandpa, believe it or not, yes, I am a grandfather now, I see how damaging that is, not just in organizations, but even in family relationships with friends and anything else, when you get so focused on the who. And again, this is something that Seth Flom, our president, taught me, and he's been a tremendous mentor to me in many ways. I'm sure I've been a mentor to him, but he's taught me a new way to look at this business. And, you know, years ago, I wouldn't hire somebody if they didn't look like me, if they didn't talk like me. And that's just wrong, folks. I was looking at the who instead of the what. There's a tremendous amount of people that can help your organization. There's a tremendous amount of benefit you can achieve by not focused on the who, but focused on the what. And I think so many times a mistake is made in an organization and we go around trying to do post-mortem analysis, trying to see who we can put in jail for what crime they committed at your company. And it's just, that's not smart. You need to look for solutions. Today, we get quick, like, don't worry about who did it. Okay, somebody jackknifed the trailer. Okay, he did it. That's fine. But instead of like persecuting him and everything else, let's make sure the whole team knows how to not jackknife a trailer again. That's what happened here last week. We jackknifed a brand new trailer, tore a jack right off the maiden voyage of the trailer and tore the jack off. It's a real nice young man on our cruise that did it. He didn't mean to do it. Okay, we'll get the jack fixed. We'll get it fixed. But the next day, my team was already teaching about backing up better, which is something we've trained. But obviously, if we did that, we need to train on it again. So that's the thing. It's like not looking for fault, getting over that as quickly as you can, and getting into solutions. So the six mistakes I wanted to talk to you today on The Grow Show, powered by Steel, are a lack of focus, number one, not letting go, number two, trusting but not verifying, number three, number four, not knowing enough about finance and not sharing it. Number five, not asking for help. I didn't ask for help. And then number six, looking for fault instead of solutions. Big one. And then there's a whole host of things I've done. I mentioned about getting out of maintenance in the 90s because I didn't like it. I didn't interview people very well. I just hired them and surprised they didn't work out. I didn't have other people in the company. Like if you were running a few crews, I would just say, hey, here's Jimmy. I hired him for you. Here, hope he works out well. I don't interview anybody anymore. I'm not involved in that. I hated debt. So one year I paid all my trucks off because that's what I wanted to do. And then by August, I had no cash and I had to go back to the bank to take out a loan. But I had, because I had all these trucks paid off. I just wasn't thinking. I kind of mistakes. Last year, you think I'm so smart? I have a client that I've worked with for 4 or 5 years, and he's kind of a cantankerous person, so I still handle him. He wanted me to meet him at 7 in the morning. It was during daylight savings when it was dark at 7. I went on his street. I parked my truck in front of what I thought was his house. It was not his house. It was his neighbor's house, three doors down, looked like the same house. I knocked on the door, and I got some 80-year-old lady out of bed, and I scared the living bejeebies out of her to the point that I went to Bob Evans and bought her a gift card for breakfast and came back and apologized to her. I called my client, who's kind of elderly himself, and I said, "Hey, Larry, I'm right in front of your house. You're not answering the door." And he said, "You're not in front of my house." I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "But nobody's answering the door." Well, the elderly lady had come to the door and saw me, and I think she called police, is what she did. I realized I was at the wrong house. I could go on for hours, folks, about the dumb stuff I've done. And in some ways, the older you get, things kind of fall apart a little bit and you make mistakes. At the end of the day, here's the point I wanted to get across to you. None of us are perfect, okay? But we should all, 24/7, all the time, be learning from our mistakes, trying to get better each and every day. And you get better, ladies and gentlemen, by being humble, by realizing you don't have it all figured out and learning from your mistakes. I share these mistakes with you in hopes of helping you. You're going to make mistakes. Don't make excuses. Learn from them. Get better. And here's the critical thing. Tell your team about them. My late mother was incredible with self-deprecating humor and talking about the things that she messed up. I could go on for days about the things that she talked about, the mistakes that she made. And what it does when you do that, folks, you humanize yourself because everybody makes mistakes. We often find that the lessons that I teach when I talk about my mistakes, they resonate better with our listeners and our students than when I talk about my successes. I hope you have learned a ton in the 25 plus minutes we've been together this week on The Grow Show, powered by Steel. And I want to finish this up by talking to you about two landscape professionals that I know that demonstrated humility to get better, and they demonstrate humility on a daily basis. First, my friend Todd. I don't want to use Todd's name because I don't want to incriminate him the rest of the way. But several years ago, I was talking to Todd, and he was in a peer group with very large companies, and he quit. And I said, "Todd, why would you quit that peer group?" He said, "Well, it was great for the first couple of years, but I started to realize that all these owners of these big companies, they really had no idea what was going on where the tire hits the road with their companies. They didn't know what the struggles were of their frontline workers. They didn't know what kind of mowers were best, trailers were best, trucks were best. They didn't know about new trends in the industry. We were talking about captive insurance. We were talking about a lot of things that were really good, but there wasn't enough real world stuff going on." And I thought, man, that's incredible. Like, most of us would strive to be in the room with other great big companies thinking you would learn so much. And Todd said he didn't like that. And he went back and got involved in peer groups with companies far smaller than his so he could better relate. And I just thought that was a cool story and a cool way to show your humility. And then there's my friend, Big Gene Freeman, who we interviewed on episode 48 of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. See, episode 48, it's episode 45, folks. Episode 45, Clayman Tills was 48. Go back to 45 and listen to it. Gene Freeman and his partner, Chris, they are always interested in what others are doing. He talks to people from all walks of life. If you watch him at Grow, we'll have 800 landscapers there, and it's amazing to see him at work. He's often talking with young guys that have been in business 2 or 3 years. He's asking them questions. He's talking to him about his mistakes. And it's just awesome watching Gene. So I hope those two stories about Todd and Gene help you a bit. And I hope you've learned from my mistakes today on The Grow Show. I'm going to make more, folks. I want to be great. So to be great, that means I have to try things. I got to step outside my comfort zone. I hope I've helped you this week. And I wish you the best of luck growing yourself and your business. That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating and share a comment. That helps success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, go ahead and forward this episode from your cell phone via text to any landscape pro, or maybe it's a coworker you know. Thanks for joining us on The Grow Show. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.